Many of you will recall back in the early 70s, when some of us were just toddlers and some maybe a little bit older, there was a very popular song in South Louisiana recorded here in Ville Platte called Opelousas Sostan. Some of y'all remember that, I'm sure. That song was one that would make me dance a whole lot as a kid, hard to believe, but that did happen, and entertained my great aunt so much that she bought the record just to watch me dance for her. I also had a great uncle whose name was Sostan, by the way. Last year in teaching church history to the juniors at Sacred Heart, I took them on a little field trip just outside the school to the cemetery, of all places, to look at the old headstones. And they saw names like Sostan, Onesim, Hippolyte. They saw names like Tanas, Sylvestre. And I asked them where this came from. And they just think, well, these are just old-fashioned names, names that sound odd to children who speak only English. But they actually had their root in ancient saints. Sostan, Sosthenes, Onesim, Onesimus, a companion of St. Paul, both companions of St. Paul, Tanas, St. Athanasius, Hippolyte, St. Hippolytus, and so many of the ancient church fathers. And we've kind of broken away from that ancient tradition of these old French names that come from thoroughly Christian sources, Catholic sources, of the great saints of the Bible, the New Testament, and of the early church. Then we begin to see a connection that we have for the past 2,000 years in our ancestry, and things then become a little bit clearer. We can see things better, and we know something about ourselves, that yes, we have a connection to the past, but that goes through Christ and a connection through all history of being united in one faith. Paul, called to be an apostle by Christ Jesus for the will of God. Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, all of us, not just in Corinth, but we can say universally throughout the world, all of us called to be sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, to be made like Christ. Forgiveness of sin given, the gift of the Holy Spirit to purify us, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, St. Paul prays. And how does this come about, that we have this grace and this peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, if not from the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world? In a few moments, you're going to hear me say that as I lift up the host after consecration using the words of John the Baptist, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." John no longer says, prepare the way of the Lord. We've done that. Preparation is done. And now here he is. And as Revelation would continue, blessed are those who are called to the wedding feast of the Lamb. The wedding feast of the Lamb. Marriages, extremely, extremely important to ancient persons. It was the coming together of male and female for the production of new life. It was a sign of fertility and a sign of life that humanity would go on. For the Jewish people, it was seen as something blessed by God and instituted by God himself in Genesis as a way of showing the love of God for his people, seen eminently in that. We were called to a wedding feast, which in ancient times would last for days in these celebrations. We were called to this wedding feast of the Lamb, where just as in Genesis, the two become one, as Christ the bridegroom comes to retrieve his bride, the church. And he cleanses her, washes her, purifies her by his own blood and by his own sacrifice. He gives us himself as food, and thus the nuptial act takes place. We receive Christ, he receives us, and the two of us become one as he offers himself for us and we to him. So why a lamb? Why would we use the imagery of the lamb? When we look at a lamb, what do we see? We see lambs being very meek and gentle. We see lambs being vulnerable. At the same time, you watch them jumping around the fields. They're all full of life. They're pure. And of course, we know that they're sacrificial, lambs offered by the people of God in ancient times as a forgiveness of sin. And we see Christ doing the very same thing. He comes among us, meek and gentle as a lamb, humble. The God who becomes human so that we as human beings could be transformed by what he has done. that we could have a share in his divinity, who himself shared in our humanity. Yes, he becomes human, but remaining God and full of life as the author of life. That we too can remain human, but at the same time be made holy and filled with life from him who offers himself as a sacrifice to take away our sinfulness, to destroy death, and restore us to life. The one who is both priest and victim. All these things become clearer the closer we come to Christ in prayer, the closer we grow to the Lord as we become more like him in our thoughts and our words and our deeds, all a gift of the Holy Spirit. John says something interesting. He says, when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," this is one coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. He knew that Jesus was older than he, knowing in their own family history that they're actually related to each other. They are cousins. We know that, as St. Luke tells us. That John leapt in the womb of his mother as Mary came carrying the infant Christ in her own womb, but John being 6 months older. But yet at the same time, Christ exists before him. Why? He's God. The Word made flesh now comes among us. Did he understand that fully? Probably not, because he does say, "I did not know him. I didn't realize just exactly what's going on, but now I can see. Now I can see. The reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. I've come to prepare the way for him." When Christ comes to John, he says, well, John says to Christ, "It is not I who should, you should be baptized by me, but I who should be baptized by you." Baptism, as we know at that time, not a sacrament just yet. Christ had not yet suffered and died and risen. Simply a Jewish purification rite, showing that people wanted to leave behind the old way of life of sin and live a new life according to the law of Moses, to be renewed and being made something different. As Christ himself says, "I come to make all things new." And this is clarified to John when he says, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him." And God says, "On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And John says, "Now I have seen and can testify that he is the Son of God." Jesus told John, "Do this, baptize me, so that we can fulfill all righteousness." That is now you and I, called by God, by the power of the sacrament of baptism, to be cleansed of sin and be given something new, eternal life, salvation, a new way of seeing, living, acting, believing, all through Christ. The Spirit comes down upon us to remain with us. We become baptized by him, receiving that gift. And the Father says of you and of me, just as he did of Christ, "You are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter." And we are to listen to Christ. As Isaiah tells us, "It is too little for you to be just my servant, just to carry the name of Christian, just to say that you're part of the church. It's too little. Instead, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation might reach to the ends of the earth." By the grace of God, we have been made glorious in the sight of the Lord for precisely that, to be a light to the nations, to show them a more excellent way, the way of Christ, the way of love, of self-sacrifice. Again, like Christ, being gentle, being humble, sharing in the divinity of him who came to share in our humanity, being filled with his life, holy, spotless, without stain or blemish, offering ourselves as a sacrifice with Christ for the salvation of the world. As a light, may we come to see and be filled with that great Spirit, that we can tell the world that we have seen and can testify by our lives, by who we are, that Christ is the Son of God.